But having said that, there's still a long way to go. It's really hard for the second gen to continue to grow to be the leader of the church. So I would like to take this opportunity to share with you some exciting news as far as the CCAC is concerned. You don't even know what is CCAC, right? The association basically connects all the Chinese Alliance Church in Canada. We have now 104 churches. Recently, we took an initiative to create a new position that will be an AED, Associate Executive Directors on English Ministry. We have invited a CBC, Canadian-born Chinese pastor. His name is Joe Chen, but it's not the Joe Chen of Cornerstone. I know you know him. Rather, it's Joe Chen from the West. He's served in the West with Alliance for many years. Still survive, that's important. So we kind of invite him to be a AED for English Ministry. The way we want to do this is to strengthen, encourage, and bond everybody together as far as second-gen ministry is concerned. We need it. We take pressure about you. But by the way, this morning I was told, today is Women's Day. Do you know? Oh, salute to all the women. And then may God's rich blessing with you. This morning I'm going to share with you a passage we just read, Isaiah 40. I know recently we have been very much affected by COVID-19. Livelihood and daily living being disrupted. Some people are being threatened even with this disease. I just find out even our day-to-day living is being affected. Do you know the Tim Hortons, they have the roll up the rim thing? They're going to stop it because it's not a good practice at this moment. So life are being affected. Some people feel, you know, pressures, fear, whatever. So this morning I would like to bring something more excited. So you see the highlight. Soar on wing like eagles. We want to be renewed. We want to soar like wing, like eagles. So kind of encouragement and excitement for every one of us. So I picked this passage, chapter 40. But when we look into this passage, we find it actually is quite a contrast, two different pictures. Of course, this one picture is about, you know, vibrant, renewed, soul on wings like eagles. But on the other hand, there's another contrast, a very much contrast pictures from the same passage. The passage is talking about tired, weary, and weak. How are you doing this morning? Pretty tired, right? 1 hour less sleep. Sorry. So we feel tired, weary, and weak. So it happened in the same passage. There are two different, very contrast pictures. One is very vibrant, soaring wing like eagles, renew. Not in vain. But at the other picture is totally different. Tired, weary, and weak. Why it happened there's two different pictures? I think it's related to the backgrounds. If you know the prophet Isaiah, he served at the times in the southern kingdom. At that time, the northern kingdom has collapsed already. So for the 12 tribe, 10 is gone. There's only two left. Two more tribes in the south. But even in the south, they are not safe because they have been threatened, affected, oppressed by first Assyria and later Babylon. So the people are dealing with all those kind of oppressions. They feel tired, weary, and weak. Yeah. That's understandable. Just like us today, we're living in this world. It's all kinds of things. You know, the virus and other stuff. They keep on giving us trouble. So we might feel tired and weary and weak. From the scripture, here talk about even youth grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. So it tells like even young people, we also feel this kind of things. We feel tired, weary. I was in Lima last week to celebrate the Lima Chinese Alliance Church there for their 41st anniversary. So I flew down on Friday evening. arriving there in the morning of Saturday is 8 hours flight. And then when I settled down in the host residence, it's almost 3:30 in the morning. And then I have to wake up 7:30 to go to the church to have my ministry there. So I only have 3 hours sleep. Oh, boy, it's really tired. Yeah. So after the preaching, I go back home and then take an afternoon nap. Okay, re-energize again. This is part of my life now. Basically, as executive directors, we have 104 churches across Canada. So in average, I have to fly thrice per month. Sometimes national within the Canada, but sometimes overseas. Like last weekend, I was in Lima. So in today's life, because of globalizations, everybody moved into a big city like Toronto. We're all busy. It's fast-paced. We feel stressed out sometimes. But physical tired is still easy to recover. You take a nap, you know, you sleep. But today's the stress is not just physical. The tired is not just physical, but also emotional. So a lot of people feeling stressed out, anxiety, depressed, everything. So the point is, yes, we're living in such a time of age, we feel a lot of, you know, stress and everything's happening. But what about God's people? What about Christians? How we deal with this kind of things? Okay, in the scripture, verse 27, he said, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My course is disregarded by God, by my God." God's people live in this world. We also feel the oppressions, the trouble, being also affected by COVID-19. But sometimes I find that for Christians, for God's people, if we're not handled well, sometimes we feel even more tired and weary than non-believer. Why should I say that? Why should I say that? Because for non-believers, for weekend, they're free. You know, they can go out and have fun time. But for Christians, sometimes other than our own career, on the weekend, we still come to church to serve. So it's this kind of a second career for Christians. We have to serve the church. So for the non-believers, they take time off. They can go to cruise. No, nobody go to cruise now. Yeah, but a lot of people go to resort, go to cruise, whatever. But Christians, we have other obligations. We come to church to serve. So it's like a second career. So sometimes we don't even have that kind of, you know, leisure or time off like the non-believers. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is we don't mind to serve. But sometimes even when we serve, we're not being appreciated. And there's sometimes things happen that give us even more pressures or problems. Like here, he said, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say Israel?" Jacob and Israel represent God's people. And here he said, "My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." We don't mind to serve. But the problems when things happen, when we don't understand why it happened to me, why my way is hidden from the Lord, that means what is happening to me, it seems God is not noticing it. He didn't even care. My cause is disregarded by my God. And then when things happen, they give us another questions. Why? Why God don't care about what is happening to me? Last year when we, the CCAC, we did the disciple-making course. And then we took the course and then we do the exam. When the exam come, and then a sister sit beside me, she was so worried. She shared with me, "I cannot take the exam. My brain basically blank when I come to the exam." I said, why happened like that? She had a degree from China. You know, for Chinese, we like to do exam. We specialize in taking examinations because we memorize a lot of things and then do the exam afterward, forget it. So why you afraid about exams? But later on, she has a chance to share with me. She's a very devoted Christian. She and her husband served in the church for many years. They had one child, very brilliant, gifted child, and even the child's even dedicated to the Lord. But what happened is, that's an accident. That was an accident. She hasn't mentioned detailedly what happened, but God took away this boy. And it became a trauma to the parent. And because of that, I think she got medical help as well as psychological help. She just kind of blind. She's totally lost her memory. And even her boss know that she cannot deal with stress in her workplace. So this trauma happens, and it's really affecting the life of the sisters. Well, sometimes we may not face such a, you know, extreme case, traumatic things. But have you thought about something happened before? Even though we don't speak out, we're not complaining God, but at the same time, something became a hindrance in our life. We ask, why? God, why you let this happen? Like for non-believers, when things happen, whether it's illness, or lost your job, or something really big happening in your life, you take it, oh, it's just life. But for Christians, we cannot say that. Because everything is in control by God. There's no coincidental things happen. So when things happen, then we may ask, God, why? Why you let that happen to me? And then became a hindrance. So the scripture here talk about two different pictures. One, even God's people, we feel weary and tired. We ask God why it happened. But we thank God, God didn't stop just like there. In this scripture, it's talking about two different pictures. Yes, in this life, in this current settings, we deal with all kinds of stress and problems. We feel tired, weary. But that's not what God wants us to be. So in the last verse, verse 31, here it said, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So we thank God that Isaiah not just stopped there, talking about the tiredness, weary and weak. In the verse 33, it talks about a totally different picture. Here it talks about but. What does it mean but? That means that is not what God wants us to be. Yeah, dealing with this challenge in our daily life, we feel weak, tired, and weary, but this is not what God wants to be. He said, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, will soar on wings like eagle, will run and not grow weary, and will walk and not be faint. The English translation will in Chinese, that means must. That means those who wait on the Lord must, will happen, be soar on wings like eagle, run and not grow weary. So here is a different picture. The picture is just like that. It's totally an opposite. The first one, oh, totally discouraged, tired and weary. The next one, very much energized. It shows the difference. So here, it talks about using four metaphors. So talk about what does this mean by soar like, on wing like eagles. How this totally different picture look like. The first one, renew their strength. Now in English, NIV is called renew. Renew is just like when I'm tired, I wanted something energize me. Like if I have to do something tomorrow and then I'm staying late and then I'm still tired. If I want to energize, usually I take a cup of what? Coffee, you know, to keep me awake. If coffee doesn't help, I take a Red Bull or whatever. You know, just keep me energized. But here, renew doesn't mean like that. The original meaning is exchange. That means dependent on me, myself. That's, I'm limited. Even though I drink a coffee, one cup, second cup, third cup, it's diminishing because I'm still limited. So it's not much I can do. But here I talk about exchange. That means we use a different source of power instead of just renewing who I am. Just like the song we sang this morning, not me, but Christ in me. So we need to have another strength to help me to go through it. So I use the pictures to describe it. I'm not sure whether you are in the same line with me. What kind of pictures that I'm using? Exchange instead of renew. The pictures is like this. What does it talk about? The vine. The branch of the vine. We have to connect with the vine. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So that's exactly what we have to do. It's not by our own strength. Okay, I'm going to do better. I'm going to commit even more. No, we cannot do that. Because we are limited. How can we be renewed? It's only by when we reconnect with him. It's not by our own might, my own ambitions, my own determinations I can achieve anything. Yeah, the world is challenging. The pace is so fast. The workload is so huge. We don't even know what happened next 6 months or a year. So we cannot just depend on ourselves, commit even more, do even harder, that we can achieve that. But rather, from the Bible, tell us one very important thing. Connect to him. Draw strength from him on our daily devotions. In every time, every moment. When things happen, not just come up with a solution for myself, but rather pray. Connect to him. God, why you let this happen? Why it happens? What do you want me to do? How can I learn something here with your presence? That's the something we have to learn, to exchange instead of just do harder, try harder. And second one, soar on wings like eagle. The picture is much easier. Eagle, the way the eagle flies, very much different from birds or sparrow. They're not flipping their wing. They just cry. They stretch out their wing on faith. And then by the currents, and then they just fly high. That is what God wants us to be. He wants us to be like eagle, flying high. Not by our own might flipping the wings, but rather by stretching out our wings in faith. Sometimes even harder. We try to flip and do things, but stretch out in faith. And then ego fly much higher than the birds. That means we have a larger, a bigger horizon. You know, I find that a lot of times in church, sometimes we have trouble, relationship-wise, you know, in the board, pastor, and elders. We all care about the church. And that's why we have sometimes tensions, even conflict. But I find that most of the time, it's not about truth. It's always about weight of doing ministry. But if we fly high, we see a bigger picture. We see God's kingdom. Things would have been very much different. You know, the church I serve in Ottawa, we have Mandarin, Cantonese, and English. It's not easy at all. But when I look at those ministries, I always think, look from a kingdom's perspective. It's not about my interest or your interest. Not my way of doing ministry or your way of doing ministry. But rather, what is best for God's kingdom. And if we look at it from a missionary perspective, not me, but how can I advance God's kingdom by doing this or that? I find that it's much easier for us to gather together as one body. Because we have a bigger horizon. So that's why I encourage churches to go on missions. Because when you go on mission, you find that God's kingdom is much bigger than here. It's everywhere, in different people groups. How God did things miraculously, amazingly, in other places. That will encourage you to stretch out your faith even more. Because it's not by you anyway. It's by Him. So what we have to do is just stretch out our wings and being supported by the current of the Holy Spirit and fry in His kingdom and see how He did things amazingly. That really changed our mindset. And the third one, run will not grow weary. That's another metaphor. A picture I would like to share with you is something like this. What are they doing? Marathon. Wow. Whenever I look at those people, I just feel envy. Just look at me. I can never run like that. You know, those marathon runners. You know, we have one pastor, at least, who runs the marathon. She ran the one in Boston. You know, the Boston Marathon is not for anybody. You have to meet a certain record before you can go there. But those marathon runners, would they feel tired? Would they feel tired? Of course. But what keep them moving like that? They just keep running in a constant speed, kind of. What keep them running as a marathon runner? They have a goal in mind, a target. What do you want to do? To win the champion? Of course, if he or she can. But even after someone win the champions already, the rest keep running. So it's not just for the champion. What do you want to achieve? They want to finish the race. As a marathon runner, we want to finish the race. This is our target. And normally when they pass the target, the destinations, usually they do one thing. What do? They look at the watch. Oh, it's about time to go home and have lunch. No. They want to check what? Time. So the goal is finish the race and check the time. If it's faster than the one before, then they achieve their goal. Ministry is just like a marathon. It's long haul. It's not just for a certain period of time. You're very committed. You're very devoted. You put a lot of time in church and serve God. That's it. I did my part. No. Ministry is long haul. You have to look at the destinations, what God wants you to be, and then you aim at that and keep running, persevere. That's keep us going. And then the last, but not least, is hiking. Walk and not be faint. I would like to quote this picture. Wow, so beautiful. I used to live in Vancouver from 86 to 94. And then when I studied at Region, after work I served in a small church in Vancouver. So in BC time, every year in summer, we drove into the BC interior to Alberta. It's so nice, Rocky Mountains. you see Fraser River. But later on, we relocate to Ottawa. Ottawa's not too bad. We still have lake and a mountain, everything. But in 2011, I relocate in Toronto. And Toronto's, it's nothing. Other than Niagara Falls, there's nothing here. It's so bad. Take an imagination when you're hiking. Even 2 hours, 3 hours walk, hiking, you immerse yourself in God's creations. It's so beautiful. You just forget your tiredness. Because you're so close to God from His creations. You feel His presence. And you feel energized. The same for our spiritual landscape. In this fellowship, in our small group, it's just not we gather together, have some kind of activity. You know, according to John in 1 John, talk about what is fellowship. Fellowship is sharing is what I see, what I heard, what I touch with one another in Christ. So it's just like a spiritual landscape. When you come to a small group in a fellowships, well, yeah, we face all kinds of challenge in our daily life. But yet, we see God's presence. And then we share with one another in fellowship. Then even though when I face tough time, I see, oh, God is with him. God is with her in her situation. Then I'm not alone. I see God's presence among us. And then we feel energized. So here in verse 31, talk about matter of choice. Isaiah lay out two different pictures. And the key is in verse 31. Yeah, in this world, under all kinds of oppressions, trouble, challenges, we feel tired, weary, and weak. But that's not what God wants us to be. God wants us to be renewed, energized, soaring wings like eagles. But the point is a matter of choice here. But that means God don't want us to be like that, to be weak and weary. But at the same time, not every God's people will be renewed and soaring wings like eagles. The only those wait upon the Lord. So actually, wait upon the Lord is the key of this passage. Whether we continue on with our own strength, our own determinations, I try harder. I commit even more. But if we are just doing by our own might, our own self, then we continue on as tired and weary. But those who wait upon the Lord will feel renewed, energized. That's the difference. So the key is wait upon the Lord. What does wait upon the Lord means? Now in King James Version, wait upon the Lord, RSV also wait for the Lord. But for NIV is different. We talk about NIV later. In our Chinese scripture, we use the same meaning. Wait upon the Lord. But waiting is not passive. Waiting doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything, just sit there, wait for the second coming of the Lord. No. Wait here means endurance and patience. In the midst of this challenge, in the midst of a difficult moment, in the midst of this COVID-19, in the midst of the uncertain economic situations, we keep pressing, we persevere, we continue on. Actually, as I see, is what actually is a spiritual formation is about. What does it mean? Well, take a very simple explanations. We talk about four spiritual law, right? We share the gospel. We talk about four spiritual law. Those non-believers. Who's sitting on the throne for this false spiritual law? For the non-believers, who's sitting on the throne? Self, right? But for those who believe in Christ, we shouldn't be sitting on the throne. Who should be on the throne? Jesus, right? We all know about it. But to be honest, tell me today, who's sitting on your throne? Still myself. Okay? So spiritual formation is basically, yeah, conceptually, we know that. Being God's people, Christians, Jesus only sitting on a throne. But in reality, it's not. So it's a process. We have to make decision whether I'm the boss or he's the boss. And normally, in smooth sailing time, we never make such decisions. I'm still in control. But it's only when difficult moments come, then we have to face it. Who is the Lord? So perseverance is, yeah, time is hard. But I keep blessing, not by our own might, but him. He will be in charge. I'm going to let go and let him sit on the throne. He make decisions. Basically, it's a process like that. And secondly, NIV talk about hope. And then Good News Bible, trust. They're both related. And Charles Swindoll said, take from a man his wealth and you hinder him. Take from him his purpose, you slow him down. But you take from him his hope, you stop him. Hope is the most important thing. But most of the time, we just look at the surrounding. It gives us comfort or fear us or whatever. We're not looking at him. Hope is focused on him only. When do we need hope most? It's when everything is so dark. It's the times we trust him. I have two co-workers recently suffer from cancer. One of them, maybe you know him, is Pastor Nick Zen. His nickname is Mr. Panama. Because the last almost 15, 20 years he's been in Panama as a short-term mission goer or even full-time for 5 years. Just this January, very short time, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And pancreatic and cancer is not easy to heal. And then he lost a lot of weight and then suffered from a lot of pain. It's hard. During the period of time, God gave me a word. It's Paul from 2 Corinthians. We walk by faith, not by sight. I try to use the words to comfort him, encourage him. On the contrary, he comfort me and encourage me. Because during that trying period, he's so peaceful. He's not scared if God take him away, it's God's timing. His prayer is, he's the chairman of the JMC. So he's like, God willing, let me finish my JMC in 2021. Yeah, that's his focus. Well, it really touching me is that so often we just look at the surrounding. We walk by sight, not by faith. When the circumstances is encouraging, we're still happy. When the circumstances turn bad, oh, we're just so worried. But as God's people, our hope, our faith is on him. And he's faithful. He never changed. So I hope this scripture can help us, you know, in the midst of this coronavirus things. Yeah, life sucks, to be honest. Don't expect it a lot from this life. You know, there's all kinds of things happening. So if we just depend on the circumstances, definitely you lose hope. Let us focus on him only and draw strength from him. So that wait upon the Lord will be renewed and soar on wings like eagles. Is that good? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for giving us your scriptures to encourage us in the midst